Brothers and sisters in Christ, good morning. It's a pleasure to be back in St. Columba's. And I should quickly tell you, I'm here because I was invited by Father Douglas and because it's near the feast of St. Columba. So I'm not here for anything else except just the pleasure of being here round about the feast of St. Columba. Do not adjust your sets. Do not be alarmed. No, it's lovely to be here. St. Columba is... He's one of these figures. You will know a great deal, I am sure, about St. Columba, because I'm sure that you spend time thinking about him and praying to him for the good of your community. But he's a very interesting figure. But before we get to St. Columba, I'd just like to start off by reminding us of that Gospel passage. St. Mark's Gospel can be read quite quickly, and I recommend it to you if you've never done that. It will not take very much time at all to get through it. It is a short gospel, but it is a highly concentrated gospel. And so that short passage that we heard Deacon John reading contains about five important different themes. But the one that I wanted to pick up on just to get started is this unusual role that Our Lady has, that his mother has. We see the crowd pressing round them so that the disciples and our Lord are unable to eat. They are so busy. People are so curious. They are so interested in the Word of God, both what our Lord is saying and who he is, the Word of God, that they don't even give them time, quite literally, to make the sign of the cross, but at least to be able to eat. And it shows us the enthusiasm and the excitement that there was around about the figure of Jesus. But his relatives were starting to get a little bit alarmed about this. And so his mother, or chef, comes along with some of his other relatives. And they ask to see him. And he says, well, who are my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? Who are they? Anyone that does the will of God and keeps it, these are my mothers and sisters and brothers. And I think that's something that is a wonderful thought for people like you and me. It's something that we have to take to heart, though, because it is a challenge to us as well as a comfort to us who are at such a remove 2,000 years from our Lord and his time on this earth. St. Augustine has something very interesting to say about this, as he always does. In fact, he mentions this episode a couple of times in his writings, and I was looking at this the other day, getting ready for coming here, and this is one of the things that he says. He says, as for Mary, her nearness as a mother would have been little help for her salvation if she had not borne Christ in her heart in a more blessed manner than in the flesh. I think that's very interesting. In other words, Mary was more blessed in receiving the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. That she is the first disciple, she is the first Christian, as it were, and that she's not just the mother of the church in some vague notional way, but she is the mother of the church in a very real and very concrete way. And so we get to see that little bit of a play in what Jesus says about his mother, that he points out to us and to her and to all those round about that there is something more when you conceive Christ in your heart, even more than conceiving him in the flesh. I think that's an extraordinary comment and something for us to take home and think about a little bit, to conceive Christ in our hearts. So I wonder if that's what St. Columba meant to do. And he sort of did anyway. He was extraordinarily successful. All that has been built in this country, apart from the very beginnings that we know little about in people like St. Ninian and St. Mungo, St. Columba is responsible in great part for the Christianization of our country. And the great figures like St. Margaret and St. David and all those that came after them were building upon what Columba had done. And yet it's very slippery to get to know, it's very hard to get to know who St. Columba was. I was looking at his biography. I keep his biography up in my bookcase. And I was looking at it again, and it's very hard to get a handle on him the way that people in the 21st century like to get a handle on. I enjoy biographies, I don't know about you, but it's hard to know what made Columba tick. The three books that we have from Adam Mann that tell us about Columba, they're entitled as follows. The first book is called Prophetic Revelations Concerning St. Columba. The second book is called Miracles of Power. Again, okay, Miracles of Power. The third one is called Angelic Apparitions. You feel to yourself, we're not quite getting to know the great man. That you know, all of this sacred, all of this holy stuff is important. Of course it is. I wouldn't deny that. But somehow we, in our times and the way we are made these days, we want to know what he looked like and what he thought about things, and we want to know the human being. And the Celts weren't very interested in that. They knew what he looked like, they knew what he thought, but they were interested in the spiritual element of him. If you go forward, I've said this before in another homily, if you go forward towards the biography that we have of St. Margaret, it was written by an eyewitness, someone who knew her personally, a man called Turgot, who was a confessor, and it was written 900 years ago. But it reads like a biography of today because it tells us about Margaret in a very concrete way, in a very hands-on way. But St. Columba, we don't know in the same way. And I think it's because whereas in Margaret's day, the Anglo-Saxons who were part of the court and who were obviously her own kith and kin, they were much more down to earth. They were much more like ourselves in their attitudes towards the world. They were very real. The world was a concrete place that had to be conquered and won for Christ. Whereas for Columba, the world was a different place. It was a world that was just, the spiritual world was just over the hill. It was just beyond us. We just had to reach out and touch it. And so for them, reality wasn't this here. Reality was the spiritual world, was life with Christ. Eternal life with Christ. And so we see that reflected in what people wanted to remember about St. Columba. And that makes me think again about that particular element about conceiving Christ in our hearts. I am sure that that is an important part of the attitude that St. Columba had to his mission. He wore himself out. He came here as a mature man, but he wore himself out for the rest of his years travelling throughout Scotland, not just living on Iona, on that beautiful island, but moving around in order to have people be convinced that it was over to them by the grace of God to conceive Christ in their hearts. The other thing that we remember about him is what they described him as. They didn't tell us, well, he had a beard or he was bald or he had a ponytail or whatever it was, he had a special Celtic tonsure. They're not interested in that. What they do describe him as is a miles Christi, which is a soldier of Christ. That interests them, that fascinates them, that he would have this sense of duty, of selflessness, of obedience to the will of Christ. That is what interested them, and that's what they called their greatest heroes, the monks and the nuns who went out to evangelize and re-evangelize Western Europe. They were milites Christi. They were the soldiers of Christ. And they didn't mean it in a bloodthirsty way. They meant it in that sense of spiritual duty and obedience and humility before their great superior, who was Jesus Christ himself. And so perhaps that's the double lesson that we can take away from today, from this nearly Feast of St. Columba, or the day after the Feast of St. Columba, that both Columba and Our Blessed Lady there, they have this sense of Our Lady gave birth to Jesus Christ in the flesh, but more importantly, she conceived Jesus Christ in her heart. This is something that St. Columba is an example of, and we have the reality throughout our country, even today, thanks to his great faith, but thanks to the fact that he conceived Christ here in his heart, and it's a great lesson for all of us to imitate.